If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we all understand, I assume, what a foundation is. You don't start building a building from the top down, but from the bottom up. The foundation's very important. First little apartment that my wife and I moved in right after we got married, it was clean inside and all that, but one day, and that was a little furnished thing, had carpet in the little front room, and one day I walked around behind the chair to pick up something I dropped and went right through the carpet because there was no foundation under it. The termites had eaten the boards out. The floor was eaten out, so the foundation was gone. That's what happens. Sometimes it can look all right, but if the foundation's missing, you're in trouble. And we understand kind of what a foundation is. Our America was built on the right foundation. It was built on the right philosophy. Now we're seeing the philosophy has changed. We've come into a place where we got New Age philosophy. We got the humanistic philosophy. Everywhere you look, you've got a different foundation than what we started with, and it's no good. It's no good. It'll not hold us up. And we recognize that today. There's a lot of folks that kind of seem hopeless about it. I'm not hopeless about it. You'll hear me say some things tonight, maybe that'll make you think I am. I want to say this. We old folks are not as weak as you think we are. We just get our kicks a little different than we used to, amen? Some of us aren't kicking as high as we used to. We have to admit that. Somebody gave me this, talking about how old folks get back at you. And it says, this couple's talking, and it says, working people frequently ask retired people, what do you do these days that's interesting? He says, well, for the example, the other day my wife and I went into town and went into a shop. We were only in there about 5 minutes. When we came out, there was a cop writing out a parking ticket. We went up to him and said, come on, man, how about giving a senior citizen a break? He ignored us and continued writing the ticket. I called him a Nazi and a communist. He glared at me and started writing another ticket for having slick tires. So my wife called him a donut-eating bureaucrat. He finished the second ticket and put it on the windshield with the first. Then he started writing the third ticket. This went on for about 20 minutes. The more we abused him, the more tickets he wrote. Personally, we didn't care. We came into town by a bus. In the car he put the tickets on had an Obama Biden sticker on it. So you got to watch old folks. They're more canny than you think they are. They're a little slicker than you might expect. I'm joking around a little bit, but the truth of the matter is I want to say to the older folks, if there's anybody that ought to be encouraged, it's us, because we've got most of it over with. Do you ever think about that? I mean, don't let heaven scare you. If you're closer to it, it shouldn't scare you, amen? Anyway, it's talked about if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're seeing that in our nation today. You name foundations in the sense of a general term to identify them, but we used to have a great foundation in what we call patriotism in America. Do you know that? Do you know right now that it's almost got a stigma on it to love the flag, to love the country, to speak up for America? I mean, they something wrong. You can't be what they call nationalistic. You got to be global. You got to think about the whole world and all of that junk that they've got on today. When I was in school, we studied about people like Paul Revere. And nowadays, they cut down on fellows like that. They cut down on George Washington. Nathan Hale, do you remember the story when you first read about Nathan Hale, man, giving his life for his country and saying, I'm sad I don't have but one life to give for my country? Brother, that's patriotism. And you don't hear much of that kind of a talk anymore. But I don't recommend Hollywood movies, but if you ever get a chance on the old TV to get the old black and white movie about Sergeant York, you ought to watch that if you have to stay up past midnight to do it. I'm talking about American heroes. I'm talking about patriotism. I'm talking about a foundation that our country was built on that's now turned to mush and slipping away because now we are pluralistic. We got the global view. Our president was in Turkey recently as well as in Egypt, and he made statements like this: we no longer in America consider ourselves a Christian nation. Now, you've heard me say that before, but I want to tell you, he may not, but I do. And our foundation was Christian, and all that's good about us was Christian, and God's blessing on us is the only reason we survived through these years. And now to say a statement like that is ridiculous. But the global view, our taxes paying for abortion all around the world, it's an unbelievable thing. I've got something else stuck in my Bible. My Bible's in my filing cabinet. Let me see if this is it. Talking about our taxes paying for everything. And this is called a welfare poem. I don't read poems very well, but let me try this one. It says, I cross ocean, poor and broke, take bus, see employment folk. Nice man treat me good in there, say I need to see welfare. Welfare say you come no more, we send cash right to your door. Welfare checks, they make you wealthy. Medicaid, it keeps you healthy. By and by, I get plenty of money, thanks to you American dummies. Hey, bud, not through yet. Write to friends in motherland, tell them to come fast as you can. They come in turbans and Ford trucks. I buy a big house with welfare books. They come here, we live together, more welfare checks, it gets better. And 14 families, they're moving in, but neighbors' patience wearing thin. Finally, white guy moves away, now buy his house, and then I say, find more aliens for house to rent, and in the yard I put a tent. Send for family, they just trash, but they too draw the welfare cash. Everything is very good, and soon we own the neighborhood. We have hobby, it's called... I didn't read this far. I'm in too deep to back up. We have a hobby, it's called breeding. Welfare pay for baby feeding. Kids need dentists. I don't know what else surprises in here. Kids need dentists. Wife needs pills. We get free. We got no bills. American's crazy. He pay all year. Keep welfare running here. We think America, darn good place. Too good for the white man race. If they don't like us, they can scram. Got lots of room in Pakistan. There's too much truth in that to be totally funny. Do you understand that? Now this is fact. A refugee can come over here and draw of our tax money $1,890 a month. That's more than a whole lot of people around here make on a 40-hour-a-week job. They get addition to that $580 in social assistance. So that's a total of $2,470 in a month. No wonder they send for their relatives. That's what I'm talking about. That's the foundation that's been destroyed. I mean destroyed. And A lot of truth. That's a little bit of a funny thing, but too much truth in it. I want to say to you, it's too real. We're in the pluralistic global view attitude today, and that's destroying us, folks. And another foundation that's being destroyed is our moral conscience. Bible says your conscience can be seared with a hot iron. And do you know we've got the place, you've heard me preach it and other preachers preach it. You've heard us rip and roar on abortion till it's almost, well, nothing. But do you understand more babies have been killed than in all the wars that we fought? I mean, add to the wars all the automobile accidents and we still kill more babies. And yet our conscience is seared to that. It's an awful, awful thing. Now, it makes life cheap. This seared conscience makes life cheap. Stephen was on it this morning, no fear of God. You see any of the documentaries on TV down in the drug wars in Mexico and across the border? They kill each other, man, just right and left. Life is cheap. You wonder, did they ever hear "Thou shalt not kill"? Did they ever hear there was a God in heaven that made a commandment that we're not supposed to kill folks, and yet they kill folks? And we see in America today gang warfare, and to be initiated into a gang, oftentimes what you got to do is shoot somebody. And we see in America today people getting longer sentences for messing with an animal than with a human. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Life's cheap. Moral conscience is gone. Sex perversion is on the upper view. Did you read the papers the last few days where the third or fourth largest Christian, quote, church denomination in America, the Lutheran Church, passed that they can have homosexuals now as pastors, clergy? The only requirement is that they be in a lasting relationship. Isn't that amazing? Did you see that in the last few days in the paper? Isn't that something, that we've got to the place that in moral conscience and let me say this, I'm on the radio, I'm not picking on the Lutheran Church, except I will say this, if I was the pastor of one, it would pull out of that organization. And if I was a member of one that wouldn't pull out of the organization, I would pull out of it. I would not be putting my money in an offering plate to support that kind of corruption and that kind of filth and that kind of perversion. And how in the world can a group of people sit out there and look at a man or a woman in a perverted homosexual relationship and call them pastor? I cannot understand that. But that's current, folks. You know what I'm going to hear? I'm going to hear Pastor Carter speaks against somebody else's religion. I tell you what, I preach against somebody else's corruption and filth and perversion, and I make no apology for that. It's amazing. Surely you wouldn't put your money in the offering plate here for that sort of cause? What's wrong with America? What's wrong? We've lost our moral conscience. That's what's wrong. And we see it everywhere. Sex perversion, religious perversion. We're told now that we cannot offend Islam, though they can cut our heads off, and they're doing it right and left. But we can't offend them. I've got stuff. If somebody hadn't warned me not to preach too long, I'd probably be reading some of this stuff to you right here. But the truth is, there's some bad stuff going on. Do you understand Sharia law is their religious law, and they're trying to push that on America? Do you understand it's in France, it's in Spain, it's in London? In London right now, a woman policeman cannot go into a Muslim area without wearing a Muslim scarf. That a man policeman or any law cannot arrest a Muslim while he's praying. These are rules of Sharia law, and they are coming to America. We've already got Congress being lobbied for it and all of that kind of business. In Pakistan, I mentioned that in the poem a while ago, in Pakistan just recently, in fact, if you want to see where I got this, it's right on the front page, left-hand corner of the Soul of the Lord, I believe this last one, and it tells about a busload of tourists in Pakistan. I say tourists, a busload of people, and the bus stops for a tea break. And so that you've been over some of those foreign eastern countries where they have like little spots along the sidewalk where you have like a little restaurant, more or less a little outdoor restaurant. And so they stopped there, and this man ordered a cup of tea and drank it and went up to the counter to pay for it. And when he did, the owner of the place spotted that he had a cross hanging around his neck. He hollered for all his employees. They come out with frying pans, anything they could pick up, and they beat the man to death. Say, why? Because the cup he drank the tea out of was dedicated to Islam. And they had a little sign that he didn't see on the wall that said, if you are another faith, you've got to identify yourself. And he didn't, and they killed him, in spite of the other people on the bus trying to rescue him. You want that in America? If we don't wake up, we're going to have that kind of junk. In England, Luton, I'm trying to remember the little town, they've started kidnapping Muslims. See, if you're not of Islam, then it's open season for that group. They started kidnapping young white girls and selling them into sex slavery in this particular community. And some of them now so strong with the Sharia law that the outside police don't want to go in. And so they started doing that. It become public knowledge. Now, if anybody else had done it, they'd have been arrested. But they were only sent a letter saying, if you don't stop, we will have to arrest you. Hey, I got the proof stuck right here in the Bible. I mean, the documentation for it. Oh, listen, folks. The foundations have been destroyed. The moral conscience of our country is hurting today. Newspaper this week, I hope you saw this. I think it was on TV also. I didn't see it on TV. But the young woman, 17-year-old girl, that converted to Christianity, running from Ohio because, and she's asking for protection, and I believe Florida's granting the protection, to put her in a foster home or something, because she's going to be killed for converting to Christianity, and it's called an honor killing in the family. This is current news I'm talking about. Now, that's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. And the foundation, the moral conscience of America, what in the world? Can you imagine? No, you can't. I can't either. Back in the 50s, something like this. As bad as the 60s got, this wouldn't have happened. I don't even believe in the 70s. But now it's getting ignored, excused, swept under the rug. It's an amazing thing. The foundation's being destroyed. I'll also say another foundation is that of the freedom of choice. I mean, Americans have always been famous for being independent, making their own decisions, choosing what they wanted to do, and we're losing that rapidly. Now, I don't have time to get into the health care thing, but that's what's at stake, losing your freedom of choice. Some of the older folks are concerned about rationing. Some of them are concerned about the death panels, and don't kid yourself. It was written in there. You could call it a death panel if you wanted to. It was written in there to have death counseling. And some spots on TV are beginning to show even the veterans where they're coming in and they got a form filled out like this. And you sit down and you counsel with somebody and it asks you such questions as, are you depressed? Are you costing your family too much? It's basically counseling you to say, maybe I just ought to go ahead and die. Yeah. And so they fuss about somebody calling it a death panel. What else you gonna call it? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Amazing today. Freedom of choice in this healthcare thing is really, really amazing what is going on. They wanna, as far as choice goes, they want an education monopoly. Now, we started our school. We've had it going for 37, 8 years, whatever it is here. And government has a education monopoly. Now, the place is that they can't pray at graduation. They can't pray at a ball game. Principal arrested for praying over his lunch. And we preached a long time ago this was coming. Freedom of choice. And I want to say to you, if you love your kids, I mean, you need to drive a clunker if you have to put them in Christian school, bless God. And I mean a good one that'll preach the Bible to them. The truth of the matter is, kids grow up so fast. In just a few years, that little toddler that's memorizing scripture and singing little Bible songs, in a little while, they're going to have the pressure of the teenage years on them. And if you don't put something in their foundation, they're not going to be able to stand later on, and you're going to regret it. It is important. But to have the freedom of choice that Americans have always had. Private enterprise has always been built on the foundation of hard work. And the Bible takes that position. Bible is not socialism. The Bible is, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. The Bible is, earn your own way. Be sufficient. And the truth is, private enterprise is hurting now today. Did you see in the news? I'm just rerunning some of this because some of you watch too much Oprah and not enough straight news. And by the way, she's pushing New Age religion. Big time. But what's his name? Sam Waxman? Congressman? Senator? Talk about socialism. Talk about being ruled from the top. Talk about dictatorship here. He sent out a notice to some of the big insurance companies. Now understand something. The banks took some money, not all of them. So that put some strings on them. The car companies taking money, it put strings on them, and look what happened to them. They lost their right to make choices. But he sent out a form to some of the big insurance companies wanting them to fill it out, give them the structure of their salaries and their perks, and report it back to the government for the government to pass judgment on, is somebody making too much. Now, wait a minute. That's free enterprise. That's private companies, man. When in the world did we surrender our rights to big brother government to be able to tell what somebody makes? I hate the abuse of CEOs and all of that, but at the same time, I don't want to see our freedom gone to where the government is setting the salaries on people that work for a private company. What in the world would that be different from Russia? It will kill the worker spirit, like I've said before, over there. They're like a bunch of zombies over there under communism. It didn't matter how hard they worked, they didn't get to keep any of it, so there was no zeal for work. I've been there, I've seen that. And that's exactly, by the way, I'd love to be one of those insurance execs for just one day to fill those papers out. I'd write, "Mr. Waxman, nail your tongue to a pole and walk off." That's what I'd tell him to do. Amen. The truth of the matter is, that's what they ought to tell him. Instead, they negotiate around and pussyfoot around and all. No, sir. Free Americans have got to start declaring their freedom. Got to stand up and say, no, that's unconstitutional. I've got freedom and you're not going to take it away. And by the way, you better keep your hand out of the government trough, out of the government swill, or you are going to have things put on you. That's why through the years we've never taken a dime, not a dime, from government agents here at this church, this school, this college. We don't want one string on us. Never forget, many, many years ago, Brother Fowler's hadn't been with me long as our school principal. And we got a call, and this government man was coming to see us. We met right over there in the building where the elementary office is now. He came in. His job was to come and offer us a government program, some government funding. Now, there's never been a day in my Christian school we had enough funding. Never have had enough funding. And we didn't have enough then. But he come in and he explained how we could apply and how we could get these funds. And I let him make his spiel, found out why he was there, and I told him no. And he went around again. He couldn't understand why we wouldn't take it. It was free. That's the word that gets you. And so I told him no again. And finally, in some conversation, he was a nice enough guy. He got up, and I was opening the door for him to leave. And then, just to be a little bit facetious, I looked at him and I said, "Now, you've done your job. You come here, you made the offer. You've done your job. You're clear. You got the answer. But now, just man to man, human to human, tell me, didn't I make the right decision?" He looked at me and smiled, and he said, "You sure did." You know what he was saying? He was saying, "There's some strings, there's some hooks, and you take it, and the next thing you know, I'll be back to tell you, get the picture of Jesus off the wall, or lay that Bible aside. You say that wouldn't happen. It did happen. It's close as Winter Haven right over here. Just that close back in those years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you don't let the spider web of government get a hold of you, or it'll take your freedom away. It'll do it every time. And the freedom of choice is a foundation that's been crumbling for a long, long time in America. And the pride of free spirit. You know, I don't want to be a number. And that's where we're heading, the number system. Revelation 13, 666, the Antichrist, the number of the beast. We're heading there so fast, folks. So fast. As the money is devaluated and everything else. Right now, India. By the way, we think of India. We think of maybe the poor on the streets. We think of some of the dirt and the filth and worshiping a cow or something. But do you understand in India there is an elite class? Do you understand if you call to have your phone repaired, you may be talking to somebody in India? Do you understand the computer business over there that we get a lot of our, they do a lot of work for us in America on this thing of electronics and on computers and all that stuff. That's what's going on. Do you understand right now they have invented some software and are talking about it? It's called CTS. It's called Children Tracking System, CTS. And the information I got on it showed the image of a baby with a barcode across his chest. Now here's what I'm saying. That it's not gonna look that gross, but that's the picture. That's the software that they've already got and they're gonna supposedly use it there first is gonna be every baby is gonna be marked with a number. And from the time the baby is born and marked with a number, all the things concerning that baby is gonna be kept under that number. When it goes to kindergarten, when it goes to school, as it graduates, as it get out in the business world, it'll be a number. Isn't it interesting how far ahead the Bible was? That's exactly what we're hearing about. You say, well, where will it come to America? It will. It will. The number system will come. You know, it could happen fast here because socialism has happened more in the last 100 days than most of us would ever, ever, ever believed. Amazing. Thing I've told you before, but old Winston Churchill was lashing out against socialism, which is only one step from communism, which is a dictatorship. And old Winston Churchill, I know you young people don't recognize a historical character like that, but there was a man in England that saved them from Hitler in World War II. His name Winston Churchill. And quite a statesman. And Winston Churchill said socialism won't work. He said the only places it will work is in heaven, where it's not needed, and in hell, where it's already there. And he really had a right point there. The truth is that we've got it coming so fast in America. It's amazing. Now, in old America, you could work, you could earn, and you could keep. And that was God's plan in the Bible. We've come to the time, though, and it was spoken in this last presidential campaign that Americans no longer had the right to set the temperature in their house at 72 degrees and eat anything they wanted. That was said in the presidential campaign of the man that got elected president, said by him. Now, I want to say something to you. If you earn the money and can put in the air conditioner and it's yours and you're paying for it, you can set it anywhere you want to as an American. And if you worked and earned the money and wanted to go to the grocery store and spend it on junk food, that's your right as an American. May not be smart, but it's your right. You don't need Uncle Sam telling you what to set the temperature on if you're paying the electric bill. Amen. Now, truth is, we've come to the place, though, that this sort of thing is happening. I want to say in the text here, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, that sounds a little hopeless. Now, it says if. Now, we recognize they are being destroyed, and they've been destroyed fast as far as our country goes. But the foundations can pertain also to your relationship with the Lord, Where you raise your kids, where you conduct your life. Do you do it side of the book, or are you destroying all the strong foundations God lists in the Word for you? Understand that. But it says if. Now the answer to it and the hope to it is Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalteth the nation. But the opposite, sin is a reproach to any people. Now in the beginning of our country, righteousness elevated us, brought us up, and exalted us, and God blessed us. Hey, there's always a struggle between good and evil. Don't ever think this world, until Jesus gets back and sets up his kingdom, is not going to be in a struggle. It is. But we that know right want to do right, because we have a righteous God that smiles on that and commands us to do it, as in the psalm here. And we ought to strive for that. The answer to our problems still today would be old-fashioned, old-time Bible truth and principles. That could straighten out the economy. That could take care of things in Washington, D.C. It really could. Really could. But instead, we're being suckered right and left. Get another free handout here or there, but it's not free. It's a trap. Some of you good old boys out there listening on the radio to me, and you wouldn't admit it, but you do. And you're saying, bless God, when they come for my gun, they'll have to take my cold dead fingers off of it. That's exactly what they'll do. And guess who will come? Might be your neighbor that's the deputy sheriff. You're not going to shoot him. Let me tell you what a gun is good for. In America today, a gun is good for two things. It's good you can with a gun get food. Did you know that? Look out, squirrels. A gun can produce food. You get hungry enough, brother. It can also protect food. Amen? But I'm going to say something hard to you right now. If you've got guns that are registered, you might as well not have them. Because they're going to know where to come and who's got them. And most of us, they are registered. And you say, well, I got one, but bless God, nobody knows it. But you just told me. So when they twist my arm, I'm going to say, yeah, he's got one. Now, I'm playing with you a little bit. That's what's going to happen. That's Bible, brother. Right. Neighbor against neighbor. Family against family. It's going to happen. If rapture don't take first place, and I believe it is coming first, but if it don't in the midst of the tribulation period, all that stuff's going to be fulfilled. Every bit of it's going to be fulfilled. Now, I'm not telling you to turn your guns in. I'm just telling you, you can't make a raid on Washington. You can't turn it around in a revolution. Those days are over. What you can do is protect your family from some terrorist out here, or murderer that wants to break in, some sex pervert that wants to steal your kids. So, preacher, what would you do if one was breaking in? I'd take my best shot right between his eyes. That's what you say. What about the Bible? The Bible would say amen. That's what it would say. Help yourself. Just help yourself. That's right. Now, say, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, I know, and I'm probably as pessimistic as anybody, that we can do much, but we ought to do what we can. We ought to do what we can. Stand for what is right. And I've been a little bit encouraged the last few days over the town hall meetings. By the way, don't underestimate the gray power. You notice who's at those town meetings? A lot of gray power in there, brother. And they didn't count on it. It's got them shook up. I'm glad it has. I mean, I think there ought to be more tea parties and town hall meetings. There ought to be something else shaking them up there. But what can we do? As Christians today, the best thing we can do is turn back for real to God. And if you're unsaved, you need to get saved. Man, can you see all this stuff I'm talking about, how the foundation's been destroyed, and you're still going to just float on and have your way, and you go ahead and party and drink your beer, and everything's all right, and the preacher, I like to hear him fuss against this government thing. Yeah, amen, preacher, do it, but you're not helping a bit. So how could I help? Number one, you need to get saved for your own sake, for your family's sake. And then you need to get this book. You need to get in a good church and you need to live for God. And that's the biggest thing that the evil crowd fears, is God-fearing people living right and standing right. Now, I challenge us as a church, let's do that. No, it's not hopeless. Do you understand? Richie used to say this on the radio, and there's a song about it. I'm a winner either way. I'm a winner either way, man. I'm going to win if the trumpet sounds. If the Lord lets it go a while, I'm going to still win. I'll be like the Jews were in the land of Goshen when God was plaguing Pharaoh with the 10 plagues. He was still taking care of his people over here. And he'd still do that. He'd still do that. I believe he will do that. I just say to you tonight, if you just become lackadaisical, you're just full of apathy, you're just, well, what's the use? No, God's going to hold us accountable for doing what we can do. What we can do. Remember the story of a storm like Bill is going up the East Coast, up in north. And in the days of the sail ships, one was crashed on the rocks and had a lot of people on it. And storm was raging. There was a couple of men that had rowboats close to the shore. One of them got in his boat and he began to row out. He got to the ship. He got as many as he could hold on the boat, which wasn't many, four or five, and he brought them back in. He went again and he got four or five more. And he went again and he got four or five more. But the majority of the folks on the ship perished. There was a court hearing over it, and the judge brought in not only the man that saved some folks, but the man that had the boat that never saved anybody. And he asked him, why? Why didn't you go get somebody? He said, well, I knew I couldn't get them all, so I just didn't go. That's exactly where a lot of us sit tonight. We can't get them all, so we won't get any. Every soul you win is the right thing to do. Every time you take a right stand, it's just, well, it's just me. That's all right. At the judge of the universe, when he calls us in, he's going to want to know, what did we do that we could have done? Not going to hold us responsible whether we want everybody, but did we win what we could? Did we do what we could? That's the important thing. I challenge you tonight, no matter how bad the news gets here or there, God's still on the throne. Let's keep paddling our boat out and getting everybody we can and getting them in while there's opportunity to do so. Yeah, the foundations are shaking and the foundations are falling. But let me say this. When America was settled, you know why the pilgrims came over? Foundations had been ripped out from under them. And God had let them come to a new country. It's happened before. And in God's providence, they've been rebuilt. It may not happen this time. But if not, let's still do our best. I challenge you, let's do our best. I believe it'll make a difference in the long run. Let's stand, please.